All right, so we are continuing in Matthew 5 this morning. And if you are following along in the Pew Bible, it is page 1507. We're going to look at Matthew 5, verses 38 through 42. And Jesus here again speaking says, "You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Heavenly Father, as we come to our passage this morning, and as we continue in this incredible, just this incredible section, this incredible sermon preached by our Lord, we come to the passage this morning that just really focuses in on the problem with taking revenge against someone, the problem with retaliation, the problems with us taking personal offense over so many things. And as we continue to look at the way that you want us to look at your word, to study your word, to understand your word, and to really look to the condition of our heart, I just pray this morning that we would learn from this, that the Holy Spirit would convict us where we need convicted and encourage us where we need encouragement. And I just pray that we would be changed through the study of your word. Amen. So the last quite a few weeks we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount and just studying these teachings. We went through the Beatitudes. Now we're kind of in the body of the sermon, and we've been looking at these different teachings that the Lord gives. The last few weeks have been really, he's taken several of the Ten Commandments and sort of laser focused them. The people of the day were sort of taken a surface reading of the Ten Commandments, and what he has done is said, no, it goes a little deeper than that. It's, this goes to the heart of the matter. Well, in this week's passage, he's explaining these laws of retaliation. He's explaining how we as Christians are to react to being treated badly. And he's continuing to try to explain and teach the importance of humility and patience. You know, several places in the Old Testament, the phrase "an eye for an eye" appears. You know, I think we're all familiar with that phrase, "an eye for an eye." Now, Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 24 says, it's a law, and it's a law that's given concerning pregnant women, and it says, "If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished accordingly as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. The law was given to protect pregnant women and to protect their unborn children. If, you know, two guys get in a fight and, one guy throws the other guy around and throws him into this woman, and, you know, she or the unborn child is injured, the judge punishes the offender equivalent to the injury given. You know, if either the woman or the child lost an eye, the offender would lose his eye. If they lost an arm, he would lose an arm. And this punishment went to, if they died, he would be put to death. If a mother or child died as a result of the injury, the person who hurt them was put to death. You know, the punishment itself never exceeded the severity of the crime. It's also interesting to note here that who did the law apply to? It's not only the woman, it's the baby she's carrying, right? It's a pregnant woman and it's the unborn child that she is carrying. God himself sees the unborn child as a person. That child has the same rights in this as the mother has. If the child died as a result of an injury that the mother received, the person who gave the mother the injury was to be put to death, or the person who gave the child the injury. You know, that kind of goes against a lot of our beliefs in this country on abortion. I think I've made it clear where I stand on that, but it's texts like this that is the reason I believe the way I do on abortion. You know, here God is saying, this child is a child. This unborn baby is a child. But when the punishment was decided, to ensure the punishment would not be too harsh, judges made the final ruling. You know, it's like our legal system today. If a crime takes place, a judge decides what the punishment is going to be. Imagine what would happen if the victim decided the punishment. It'd be total chaos, right? Well, that's what was happening. The Jews would use this law as an excuse to retaliate against anyone who had wronged them. The law was meant to limit the amount of retribution to the severity of the crime. But instead, they would use it as sort of a license to practice vigilante justice on anyone who did anything they didn't like. It was never meant to allow personal attacks of retaliation, and I think it's obvious why. The majority of people, the majority of us, when we've been wronged, would happily make the punishment much worse than the crime. You know, emotions become involved. Most of us would think the person needs punished much worse than they actually do. So God wants to ensure this does not happen. We all know the saying, there are two sides to every story. Well, I think there's three sides to every story. There's the version from each person, and then there's the truth. I'm not saying that everyone's a liar, but I'm saying people, when I'm looking at it from my point of view, I often see it differently than from the other point of view, and both of us probably see it differently from the reality of what's happening. So we can't expect to give a fair punishment for a crime if we don't have a true understanding of the crime committed. So, remember, God wants a pure heart from us, and a pure heart will understand that this law is just. It requires a punishment appropriate for the crime committed, but in no way outlaws proper punishment. You know, Jesus is once again rebuking the Jews for their misunderstanding of the law. The last few weeks, we've been learning about different commandments they were breaking. They're breaking the commandments because their understanding of them was based on a surface reading. They had taken the commandments at face value without any thought to what their true meaning was. They gave no thought to what God was telling them through the commandments about their hearts. Their hearts were impure, and as a result, they were breaking the commandments. In this passage, we have the opposite problem. While they took away from the true meaning of the commandments, they added to the true meaning of this law. You know, what they did was they would take the laws that God gave them and then adjusted to fit their own needs. You know, most of these people had spent their entire lives reading the scrolls of the prophets, you know, reading the Old Testament. They knew the laws, yet they never knew the true meaning. And it's interesting that, you know, when we looked at the commandments that Jesus narrowed down on over the last several weeks, they kind of took away from those what it actually meant. They made it to mean less than it actually did. And those commandments were dealing with things they were doing, right? Now that we get to something that's dealing with something that someone has done to them, they're making it more strict than what the law actually is. So, you know, again, Jesus is telling them they're wrong on their understanding. The belief was that if someone does something to us, we need to get them back, right? We need to get revenge. You know, revenge for what was done to us. You know, I need to get even. But that's pride. That's arrogance. You know, the proud and arrogant want revenge for the wrongs they receive. But Jesus is saying we should not be seeking retaliation. He gives us some examples of attacks that we might receive, and He tells us how to respond. So the first he talks about is a physical attack. You know, he says, "I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also." You know, we've all heard this. Even people who have never stepped foot in a church in their life have heard this. Turn the other cheek. You know, what does it mean? Are we to stand idly by while someone beats us senseless? You know, that's what some have taken it to mean. You know, be a pacifist. You know, that's not what Jesus is saying here. You know, God wants a pure heart from us. He continues to work on us so our heart will continue to become more pure. The entire passage this morning is about revenge, and a pure heart is not going to want revenge. You know, if you sense danger, there's nothing wrong with leaving the situation. When we were, you know, last week we stopped at a Walmart in Myrtle Beach, and I was a little leery about going in because we pulled in the parking lot and there's this big trailer sitting in the inside that says Parking Lot Patrol, and it's got a big light on it, it's got a blue flashing light, and it's got all these cameras pointing in every which direction. I thought, if they need something like that sitting outside in the parking lot, I'm a little concerned about what's going on here as far as crime. And we still went in and it was fine, but it just was odd to me. It was a small parking lot, and this thing had, I think, 6 or 8 cameras on it pointing in every direction, and they had cameras everywhere. They had security. It just seemed a little unnerving. You know, you sense danger. You can go the other way. You know, you don't follow a group of guys carrying guns down a dark alley at night. You know, don't leave your house unlocked expecting God is going to take care of you. You know, we need to use common sense. You know, we don't enter into dangerous situations just for no reason. But what if that situation finds us? You know, Jesus is talking about being physically struck on the cheek. He's talking about being slapped, being punched, and he says when that happens, we're to turn the other cheek. You know, allow ourselves to be struck again. Now, I don't know about you, but to me that sounds a little ridiculous. You know, just to turn the other cheek and let the person hit me again, that's certainly not human nature. But, you know, one thing that we've always taught our kids is that one person can't get into a fight, right? You know, and if someone strikes you, it only becomes a fight if you strike back. And if you do strike back, it's often out of anger. And what did we learn several weeks ago about anger? You know, we learned that anger is the root of, you know, the root sin that leads to murder. You know, if anger is left uncontrolled, you know, Jesus has already said, do not even be angry at someone. So, you know, when we go to strike back against them, we're striking out generally in anger. You know, Jesus isn't saying walk around like a bunch of, you know, pansies looking for someone to, you know, tape a kick me sign on my back or, you know, flush our heads down the toilet like people did in high school. You know, it's not what's going on here. Jesus is saying we should never repay evil with evil. Romans 12:21, Paul says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, we should repay anger against us with love. It, someone strikes us on the cheek and we turn the other cheek, most people are not going to hit you again. Most people aren't that bad. Some are. But we are to show the love of Christ to others. We can trust that God won't give us more than we can handle. We can trust in God's providence to protect us. You know, when we're attacked emotionally again, physically again, our emotions set in, we want to retaliate. That is the natural reaction. You know, it's not just a physical attack, but this is an attack on our dignity. And I think this is what the heart of what Jesus is getting at. He's telling us that throughout our lives, our dignity is going to be attacked. There's no way around that. When one attack is done, another soon follows. You know, we shouldn't be walking around with a chip on our shoulder, you know, looking for the next person to you know, go off on. You know, we shouldn't be hotheads. This is what it means to be long-suffering. You know, we need to accept attacks on our dignity. Many times we, you know, when we turn the other cheek, we look like fools to the world, but in Christ's eyes, we're wise. You know, he's trying to build within us a meek and humble spirit, and that leads to patience. That leads to long-suffering. Next, he moves on to lawsuits. Verse 40, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Now, he's not just saying give up your possessions, you know, willy-nilly, you know. He's continuing to build into us that humble and patient spirit. He's telling us if we're sued in the court of law and we lose, you know, we need to pay the restitution that we owe. You know, even if we've been wrongly accused, you know, he speaks of the shirt. He says, if anyone sues you and wins your shirt, give him your coat also. You know, it's the more valuable garment. He's saying that if we're sued and lose something of little value, we should be prepared and ready to lose something of greater value. You know, don't be so attached to our possessions that we cannot lose them. I have a friend that, I remember years ago, this always stuck with me. He lent someone his four-wheeler. It was a pretty high-dollar four-wheeler, and the guy took it out and beat on it pretty hard and rolled it down a hill, and the you know, the joke with four-wheelers is every time you roll a four-wheeler, every time it rolls over, it's about $1,000 per roll. So it did several thousand dollars worth of damage to this guy's four-wheeler, and I said, boy, you must have really been upset about that. And he said, I could have been, but I wasn't. He said, you know, the Lord blessed me with the ability to buy it. And he said, I let the guy borrow it, so I knew that was a possibility. He said, it was just a four-wheeler, I'll fix it, and we'll keep riding. And I thought, I don't know that I could have done that. But that always stuck with me. He just, you know, he said, it's a thing. You know, we live in a lawsuit-happy world. People sue people over anything. That's why we have all these stupid warning stickers on everything you own. You know, we talked about this the other day with the kids. I said, there's a reason that your owner's manual for your car tells you not to drink the battery acid. You know, because we live in that type of a society. The people, many people in the world who do, you know, those who don't have a relationship with the Lord are looking for something for nothing. You know, they want to get what they believe they deserve without working for it. I mean, is that ever in this country's history, has that ever been more evident that people are looking to get something for nothing? You know, we can be sued by a person who is very dishonest, by a person looking for their own personal gain. We need to trust that the judges that preside over cases are going to judge them fairly and honestly. Romans 13 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. The judges that preside over a court case were placed there by God, and we need to accept their ruling. You know, we've talked with the kids about this with schoolwork. You know, Ava has recently started taking classes online at Terra, and she takes classes at Sentinel, so that's been a bit of a change since we've always homeschooled. And so she's dealing with teachers differently than her mother. You know, Brenda has been her teacher all these years, and sometimes homework assignments come back and get graded a little more strict than they probably did by Brenda. And, you know, we go through and say, look, you may not agree with how he graded it, we may not agree with how he graded it, but we need to trust that he has the authority. And, you know, that's part of life. And what if you don't like the way that the judge rules? Ecclesiastes 5:8, if you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter. For high official watches over high official and higher officials over them. Who is the highest official? You know, God is watching over these judges, and they will have to answer to him if they are dishonest. And, you know, you think about criminal cases. We often don't think about this, but is it better to have, you know, you think, oh, that judge was corrupt. You know, we go back to the 90s and in a white Ford Bronco, and, you know, we think about a court case where a person was found innocent, where I think everyone in the world thought that person was guilty, and you say, you know, OJ, he obviously killed these people, and he's going free. You know, it's better to have a guilty person free than it is to have an innocent person jailed for something they didn't do. The reason why is because in the end, God is still going to judge them. And, you know, you can get through this life committing murder and not going to jail for it. You cannot get through eternity. You cannot make it into heaven. You know, as a murderer, having not trusted, you know, unless you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord. And at that point, none of us are going to care, you know, who did what when we're in heaven, because we're all going to be perfect. But Jesus is telling us in this passage that we should give what we lose in a lawsuit without seeking revenge for losing it. If we were to refuse to submit to a court of law, or if we were to retaliate against someone who wrongfully sues us, we're no better than them. And the last attack that he's illustrating for us is one on our personal liberty. Verse 41, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to the one who asks you, do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You know, verse 41 is describing forced labor. You know, a request to do something or a request that is inconvenient to us. And that day, you know, there's no cell phones, there's no landlines. If a message needs to be sent quickly, it's done by horseback. And certain governments would force citizens to furnish their own, you know, their own horse, their own carriage, their own time to carry a message. And usually these messengers would go a mile. They'd be spaced a mile apart. So a person would be forced to carry a message for 1 mile to the next messenger. And Jesus says, look, if you're forced to carry it 1 mile, go above and beyond and carry it too. You know, he's saying, look, we need to be willing to do things for someone else. You know, things that inconvenience us. We need to be willing to do those things if that will help that person. You know, we need to be willing to do something that is totally inconvenience to us if we can avoid anger and quarreling by doing them. In other words, you know, we need to use the example of Christ to place others above ourselves. You know, we need to be willing to give to others who ask of us, and to do so ungrudgingly. You know, to be willing and humble and patient. So in this passage, Jesus has, he's given us some great teaching regarding retaliation, humility, and patience. He of course was and is the perfect example of humility. He accepted mental and physical abuse from many people, and he never retaliated against any of them. The only time we see him get angry and do anything violent was when God was being assaulted. You know, he didn't seek retaliation for the wrongs he received. You know, you think when he flipped the tables over and made the whip, you know, what does he say? It tells them they are dishonoring his father's house. You know, we need to understand that as Christians, we're called to shine the light of Christ in a dark, in and on a dark and dying world. We need to live lives that look like Christ's. You know, we will not be perfected in this life, but you know, if we know the Lord, we will continue to get closer and closer to perfection as we live our lives. You know, these teachings from the Savior teach us about living as a Christian. You know, as Christians, we shouldn't seek to retaliate or to get someone back for what they've done to us. We should be examples of Christ's love. You know, the world should see Christ through us, and you know, and in doing that, we may be able to win them to the Lord. So if you find yourself in any of these attacks, remember the Lord's teachings. You know, remember that he forbids us from seeking revenge. Remember, one day they will be judged, and we will be judged on what we did in our lives. You know, we're either guilty or innocent standing before the Lord. We either know him or we don't. We're either saved or we're not. If we sin against God by retaliating against someone, you know, God doesn't sit there and say, well, yeah, but look at what they did to you, you know. It's all right that you did that because of everything they did to you. You know, we're either innocent or guilty. You know, it doesn't matter if we think they deserved it. You know, it doesn't matter how badly they treated us. Retaliation is a sin against God. And, you know, not only that, God is going to judge them. Right? God will judge the one who has committed the offense against you. They're going to have to stand in front of him, and they're going to have to give an account of what they've done. And if they don't know Jesus, you know, God will say, vengeance is mine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that all that we need for salvation, all that we need for living the Christian life is found within the pages of your word. Within it, you tell us how we should live the way that you want us to live. We live in a world that is filled with problems, filled with issues, filled with people seeking revenge. We live in a time where, even in many cities in this country, we see tragedies of many murders. See and hear about so many shootings taking place. And just the sin and hatred that and the anger that leads to mass shootings, leads to murder, leads to so many of the things that we are dealing with in this country. That begins right here with seeking out revenge. But Lord, if we would, instead of looking to ourselves, if we would look to you, look to your example, and look at the way that our sin, our sin against God, our hatred is what led to you being nailed to the cross. The entire reason we celebrate Christmas is because God himself became flesh, born as a little baby. And the reason that God had to become flesh and enter into his own creation was because of our sin, because there was no other way. And instead of God doing what would have been perfectly just and just destroying us because of our sin, placing that judgment eternally on us, you entered into creation and took that penalty onto yourself. You took that sin debt onto yourself and willingly died as the spotless lamb, having never committed a single sin, but dying for every sin of every person who will ever put their trust in you. And all we need to do for forgiveness is trust in that death. trust that it is full and final. Lord, if we have done that, and if we are living that life, how could we ever desire retaliation or revenge against someone else when we deserve so much more than anything they could do to us? We just deserve so much more because of our sin. So Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank God the Father for accepting that sacrifice. We thank the Holy Spirit for convicting us of our sin. And we just know that in all of this, all the glory and praise belongs to you. Amen.